Paul White, formerly the creator of the USA Today's Baseball Weekly, a great baseball man, and loved talking ball with him. Paul, the home runs, they just don't stop coming. What can we say?
We got to get used to that. That's baseball in 2019 and for the foreseeable future. You know, we can talk all we want, and everybody has this year, about the ball. Major League Baseball is looking into that. I don't know how much incentive they have to really change things. You know, I think they're going to have to sort of size things up. How excited are people by the way baseball is being played right now? It's going to, and I'll tell you what, the game here in Washington last night, 15, 14, and 14 innings, you know, amazing, you know, close to 1 o'clock in the morning, how many people were still sitting there at that hour.
Well, and Paul, it's funny because we're talking about all the home runs that were hit, but then you look at the Tigers and the Rays game yesterday. You have a 1-0 finish in the 13th inning by Tampa Bay. They struck out 24 guys between them and did not walk a single player, did the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right, and there were 3 1-0 games last Sunday. I don't think anybody even notice that, you know. Hey, Marty, can I tell you real quick? My phone is dying on me. It's a battery phone. Just tell Raphael to call me right back at the same number. I'll grab another phone.
Okay, you're gonna lose me.
All right, we'll give him a call back. Raph's getting situated.
Not a problem. I heard the beeping. I said, "Boy, is that with me?" You know, sometimes I hear noises.
Just pretend it doesn't happen, Marty. We just talk over and pretend it's not going on. But yeah, he's right. 3 1-0 games last week. You had a game yesterday. You were talking about the home runs, Tigers and Rays. Go into the 13th, tied 0-0. The Rays struck out 24 guys between Yarborough, Rowe, Anderson, Pagan, Castillo, and Poch yesterday and did not walk a batter.
Unbelievable.
Incredible stuff.
Unbelievable.
I think it's some kind of record, too. It's got to be.
Yeah, well, it goes back to 1908. It's the first time that's happened. Then the Tigers got 3 hits in 13 or more innings. Only 3 hits. The first time since 1942 that's happened. For them. Hey, looking at some of the games today, and Rafa, let us know when he's got Paul back on. Oh, you got Paul back?
We've got him now. Looks like, yeah.
Paul, you there?
Sorry about that, guys.
No worries.
No, very good. Now, this is live radio, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, we're used to being orbiting the moon here.
Yeah, I tell you, they used a landline, you know, so it's better, and that thing dies on me. Okay.
Very good. All right, let's talk about Washington. I know Doolittle's on the IL. They do lead the wild card. The Giants are very much in it, as well as 4 or 5 other teams, and that's why I love having you on these weekly discussions. Let's talk about last night with Washington and Doolittle and where you see everything.
Well, I mean, suddenly the Giants look good, and I'm going to tell you why. Look around all the contenders. Whose bullpen do you trust? Just in that game alone, the usual Nationals issues trying to get to Doolittle. Doolittle just started. He was throwing BP. It was awful. You know, there's claiming knee for the IL trip here. But Doolittle's been telling people for a week or so, I'm fried. I'm tired. I don't know what I have left. Hader gets ripped again. He's been giving up long balls. Was it a week or so ago? Matt Olson took him deep in a walk off. The A's beat him a couple times. Everybody's getting lit up out of the bullpens. I think we're seeing the cumulative effect of 2 or 3 years now of running these guys into the ground because we've gone bullpen, bullpen, bullpen. And you know what? We don't have data yet to figure out how much is too much. And suddenly all these teams are sitting here in August and they can't make any trades. They're stuck. Who do you trust? Will Smith's as good as anybody right now.
I think the question is, how do you get the ball from the starting pitchers who are going 4 or 5 innings to that 9th inning guy? Because a lot of teams do have closers that can shut it down for you. It's those 6th, 7th, 8th innings where you're asking guys 5 times a week to get you 3 innings out of the bullpen just to get to that 9th inning guy.
Yeah, and that's been the case, you know, for the last couple of years, and teams have tried to figure that out, and that's when we've gone to openers. That's why we saw, you know, Craig Counsell in the playoffs last year, just running through guys in a way that people said you can't do that in the regular season. And I think, to their credit, most managers are trying to stay away from that. But we're starting to see it happen with guys we thought were lights out closers. I mean, you know, when this season started, you said, okay, who's lights out? Who's your sure thing? You would have said Blake Treinen at the top of your list. What's he doing right now? You know, we've seen Doolittle just get lit up. Rollis Chapman, of all people, went through a stretch like that. He's been pretty good lately. I mean, we don't know right now. And I think the analytics people in these front offices are scrambling because, you know, they got a GM and a manager saying, oh, my God, what do I do? You know, the Cubs are going to bring back Kimbrel today. Good luck. We'll see what happens. You know, they don't know what to expect anymore.
Boy, I agree. Bullpens, whoever survives the last 6 weeks will tell the story. Paul White with us. Of course, Paul, a great baseball analyst and creator of the USA Today's Baseball Weekly. Paul, but the Giant bullpen, look, they gave up five home runs on Friday night.
Right.
I mean, five home runs on Friday night, and you talk about people looking fried. Watson looks fried, and so does Smith, to tell you the truth right now. And the Giants are going to have to figure out a way to lighten their load a little bit as they go into Wrigley next week. They've got the A's next weekend. But the Washington thing, for me, is really interesting because that's the one we always said they're separating from everybody else. And I thought the Cubs were separating.
Mm-hmm.
But
we thought
come
the Mets
back.
Were.
Yeah. Yeah, and look at the Mets. Let's talk Mets a little bit. Alonso is going to set some sort of record eventually for the most RBIs in Mets history. He's tied the home run record for rookies right now. The Mets today, they are taking on they are playing with Kansas City today,
yeah.
And Wheeler goes today against Glenn Sparkman. So you'd think that the Mets are doing well, but the Mets have coming up at home Cleveland, Atlanta, the Cubs in their next three series. So where are the Mets?
Well, that's it. It's a very similar situation. And one of the things that's happened to the Mets, they've hit some injuries on the offensive side, and this is a team that's not real deep. Offensively, the guys that that have stepped up and been difference makers, you know, Jeff McNeil, obviously Alonso is probably going to be rookie of the year, especially now with Tatis out. A lot of guys, Conforto, guys who have contributed, but they're thin. Everybody has to be producing and giving them help in that offense. And you take McNeil out, now he's injured. You start to chip away at their offense, and that makes the line that much finer. And again, they're afraid of Edwin Diaz right now. Another guy going into the season. Well, he's a sure thing. Well, you know, then Gesellman, they were trying him. He's on the IL now. Lugo had a couple good games, and he got lit up. So, you know, all these teams are grasping. And one of the things that bad teams have done in recent years, Baltimore got real good at this under Buck Showalter and Dan Duquette. They start shuffling guys back and forth on the minors, live arms, 10, 15 pitchers, moving them around, you know, using all the rules that you can move guys back and forth in the minors and keeping fresh arms available. They did it out of necessity just to survive. But I think contenders have got to start looking at that. You've got to find live arms on your AAA club, and a guy gets a little tired, you send him down for a week and just don't use him down there. Then bring him back. I think we're going to see more and more of that here down the stretch.
Well, Paul, we've been seeing that. Marty and I have been talking about it all morning. With the Giants, Farhan Zaidi's been doing that for the last 2 months, really. Once he felt like he kind of got some players at the big league level that could help, now you've got Fernando Abad here. You had Sam Selman here. You had guys coming up and down. Seems like every single day. We may have some more today, but it seems like this is the way baseball's going to go before you get to September in order to keep your pens fresh.
Right, you're going to have to. It really no other way. And the astute guys are the guys who have picked up four or five more good live arms, maybe some guys with some experience. You know, you've heard of, you talk about in the Abad, you know, oh, yeah, I heard of him. Where did he play before? You know, the fans are going to react that way. But they're good arms, and you put them at AAA, and you see who's throwing the ball well, and you just start to rotate them through.
Well, this is a Dodger way. We talked about September 1st, and Kerry Crowley said it, and others have said it, you know, September 1st, the Dodgers have 38 players
up there,
and the Giants, September 1st, they're going to have 38 players up here. It's going to be wild,
yeah.
But they're on to something. Things have clicked, and it's clicked within the coaching staff, the manager, and they're sort of having fun. So let's see if they can continue it. Travis Bergen, Paul, was DFA today, and he was the Rule 5 guy. Now, Avelino was brought up, and he came over in the McCutchen trade. He's the infielder, mm-hmm. and he's going to be a backup infielder up here. He plays all three positions. But what it does do, it opens up a spot on the 40-man. And I'll say this to Adam and Paul. There's an open spot on the 40-man. How long do you think it's going to take Farhan to fill that one?
Yeah, exactly, because guys are going on waivers all over the place, and there's some decent players going on waivers. Just had Freddie Galvis move the other day. You know, we see this Drubal Cabrera move. There's reasonable players out there, and this might be another spot where you get an arm if you pay attention to the transactions. Even this month, when everybody thinks nothing's going on, there are guys jumping from organization to organization. I'll bet you 2/3 of them since August 1st have been relief pitchers.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Now, to answer Marty's question about how long that spot on the 40 for the Giants might be filled before Paul gets off the line.
I was going to say, what time's first pitch? Yeah, right.
Hey, come on. Well, it's crazy to think of it. You know, my question today for we do a dinner every month at Adam. Of course, you'll be there in September with us, with Sasha. But, the question today is score of the game and odd occurrence. In the game today, and we always like to try to come up with something. And I'm thinking the odd occurrence today during the game, the Giants will announce that Cueto has been put back on the 40-man. He's off the 60-day DL, back on the 40-man, and he's going to pitch this week. So that would be my crazy odd occurrence for today.
Give him an inning late in the game today, you know?
I don't think he'll be back.
Go 14, bring him in, see how he's throwing, you know?
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. Well, the rest of baseball, though. Houston, the A's play Houston today, Paul, and the A's have taken 3 straight from Houston. I know their lineup is fantastic, but again, along what you said and what Adam has said today, watch bullpens.
Yep.
Watch the bullpens. And Houston maybe not as good as we think, and the A's are on the other end of that spectrum. Minnesota and Cleveland. How about Shane Bieber? Where'd he come from?
Yeah, no kidding. He's in the Cy Young conversation. I mean, you know, probably Verlander and maybe Charlie Morton gives him a push down the stretch. But, yeah, but Bieber, I mean, you know, the Indians, everybody kind of looked at, you know, what they were up to going to the deadline. You got to give them a ton of credit. They sized up the young arms they had in Bieber after Clevinger came in last year, Zach Plesac, some good arms in their bullpen. Nick Whitgren's a real good arm that's helped them a lot. Brad Hand's a pretty solid closer, better than most at this point. All of a sudden, they thought, you know what? We've got some depth here. They got Trevor Bauer out of there, who, for all his talent, and he had had a bit of a slump, had become a bit of a distraction, and they go out and solve their biggest problem with bringing in Yasiel Puig, who's a rental, but Franmil Reyes will be there long-term. And all of a sudden, you know, they can now compete with the Twins. The Twins were beating everybody up with a great offense, but suddenly now with Lindor starting to hit again, Jose Ramirez having a great second half, you add Puig, you add Reyes, all of a sudden, offensively, they can compete, and they can probably outpitch the Twins.
Yeah, I always fear for teams like Minnesota, even maybe Atlanta this year, who sort of sit up at the top of their division for the duration of the year, and then you get into August or September, and you got some teams coming at you. Atlanta's another one that scares me a little bit, not because I don't think they'll close out the East, but because in getting to the postseason, their bullpen is not stable.
They're totally not stable. I mean, Melanza gave him a good finish last night after a horrendous night before that. And Green lasted like 2 days as their closer there, and that's how Melanza got the job. And, yeah, they're a mess, and they've got a bunch of injuries, and they can't do anything about it. They lost Ender Inciarte, who actually started to hit, but is a huge piece for their pitching staff because of the way he plays center field. Dansby Swanson's still out, though. He should be back pretty soon. They don't have Markakis. Again, we talk about all the bullpen arms. You can find some guys to throw out of your bullpen and hope they do a good job. You can't find replacements for these guys offensively. These guys who are everyday players in your lineup, there's nowhere to go get a replacement for those guys now. And they're hoping Adam Duvall is a good fix for them. Yeah, and if somebody else in that division could string together some wins, I think they're still vulnerable. You know, we thought Washington might have had their bullpen figured out. I thought they could make a run, but they're going to have to solve that first. But I think the Braves are very vulnerable. They're probably a playoff team, but I don't think the division's locked up.
Now, Melanson, you can't use him day after day. You got to give him some rest, and then he's all right. As you're talking, I'm just looking at the score. Cardinals are on top of the Reds now, 2-1. That's in the bottom of the third. And the Dodgers are up 3-0 already on the Braves. That's in the bottom of the first.
Yeah.
Consolin.
Bellinger crushed one.
Did he?
Okay. I was watching a 3-run homer that Acuna went over the wall and went off the edge of his glove in dead center.
Wow. Well, so Gonsolin today and Dustin May is supposed to, you know, Ginger Guard is supposed to come in after him today. I love baseball.
How about a little depth on that team? You know, you talk about the Dodgers having 38 guys in September. They're all going to be eligible for the postseason. That's going to be the toughest job Dave Roberts has had all year. Who makes the postseason roster?
This is going to be funny. Paul, one thought, and Adam, jump in here whenever you're ready. But Charlie Manuel is back in Philly. And, Paul, you've covered the Phillies. Yeah. You're close to that, living in that area out there. He's back. Harper's having a big week. Eflin pitches today. They are beating the Padres early, 1-0. But let's analyze the Phillies a little bit this week.
You know, right now I feel a little better about them than I do the Mets. You know, like, ask me again next week, because 2 weeks ago we were talking about how great the Mets were. But it's kind of funny. The Mets said, "Hey, here's Phil Regan," and the Phillies said, "Okay, we'll take your Regan and raise your Charlie Manuel." You know, and you know. I mean, let's face it. Charlie shows up and they score like 100 runs in 3 days. You know, it's like, okay, come on. But it's kind of interesting. I'd love to hear the dynamics in the coach's room there, because I was watching a couple of their telecasts, and John Kruk's on the telecast, and he's talked about working with Charlie. And he says, Charlie just basically comes in and said, "Come on, boys, be aggressive. You see it? Rip it." You know, and you know Gabe Kapler is going, "What? You know, take some pitches, work the count." You know, so it's got to be interesting, but they're scoring a ton of runs. And you know, they lost Arrieta, but, I mean, he certainly wasn't their ace at this point. Nola's become the guy. Their bullpen right now is as solid as anybody. You know, Hector Neris has been fine lately. They've got a bunch of no-names setting up, but they're kind of live arm guys. They're interesting. Right now, I like them a little better than the Mets, and they're getting close to, you know, being able to push the Nationals, I think.
You know, I think for them, it's the starting pitching that's going to be the big question, of course, with the Arrieta elbow injury. The Charlie Manuel thing, it could coincide with him being there. It might just be that Bryce Harper's caught fire a little bit, and that guy can carry a lineup, and they've got enough bats there to get it done, and they play in a ballpark that's conducive for it. It's just a matter of whether or not they can get outs, I think, early in the game.
Yeah, I think Charlie will relax everybody. That's the thing about Charlie. If it was getting tense in there, then somebody made a good call from that standpoint, because Charlie just come in and, "Aw, shucks," and, you know, "Here we go," and, "Boys, just hit the ball, and you're okay." And Charlie, the one thing Kruk was talking about on their telecast the other night was, you know what, no matter what you're doing, after you spend a BP session with Charlie, you feel good. You feel up. You know, you just can't help it. And maybe it's just relaxing those guys that have gotten too tight.
Well, this is deja vu for me. This is Jack McKeon, 2003.
It's a good call.
The Miami Marlins, they brought Trader Jack in, and they got rid of it. Was it Torborg, I think, was the manager?
Yeah, it was Torborg.
The Astros did it, too. Didn't they do it with, who was it when they went in 2005? Phil Garner, maybe? Is that who they brought in, Garner?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Absolutely. Yep. So Jack came in and sat on the bench and smoked cigars.
and you know what? You know what? You talk about all these things. I had a thought yesterday. You guys have probably talked about this. I was for somebody else that asked me what my thoughts were on some of the awards. You know what? I started looking at the National League. Bosch is going to win Manager of the Year.
Yeah.
You know what? Because nobody else has done like this job, like turn this team around from nowhere. The fact that the Giants team is in this race with everything they've gone through, plus the writers, everybody loves Bosch. You know, this is going to be the testimonial, come on, let's give it to him. And he deserves it.
Paul, you mean Mickey Callaway is not in the running for the comeback the Mets have made?
Yeah. The New York writers will torpedo him on their own. Yeah,
how about GM of the Year? Are we looking at Brody Van Wagenen? No? Not so.
I tell you what, though. What if they pull that off and get in the playoffs?
Yeah. It'd be a conversation,
The sad guy of the sad manager of the year, and every time they show this guy, Joe Maddon.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Either he's got a shave or he needs a new look or something. But when they let these leads go away, I feel for this guy. He is the sad manager of the year.
It's like he just can't believe it. I mean, you know, I got real close with Joe in all the years when he was at Tampa Bay, and spent a lot of time with him, did a bunch of stories with him, and he was always great. And you could sit and talk to him afterward. And, you know, to this day, a couple of years ago, I asked him again about this. To this day, he still has that look. Every time you bring up that World Series against Philadelphia, he says, we were better. We beat them. We had them. And he has that same look, like, how did that just happen? I don't know. And he, to this day, he can't get past that.
The rain.
Yeah, yeah.
The rain.
It was. Oh, no, that was ridiculous. Yeah, when Bud changed the rules, yeah.
Yeah, the rain. Boy, great talking with you. It's just such a pleasure having you on. This is great to just follow through, because you're back east and you get a good perspective of what's going on in this wild card race and in the National League East. So we'll catch up again. I thank you, Paul. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Marty. Love it.
Okay, that is Paul White. Good baseball talk.
Anytime we can whip around and hit a bunch of the different conversations, divisions. There's games going on right now, and we're down the stretch. There's going to be more than just this National League wild card. You were talking about the AL Central. Maybe the NL East could be up for grabs. Maybe the NL Central there. So, yeah, there's some fun baseball here the final 6 weeks.
Well, this is what makes baseball baseball. You can quote me on that.
Okay, I will.
This is what makes the run down the stretch. Because everything about life, we think we have it figured out. You know, the NFL, 16 games or whatever they play, and you kind of figure it out by the eighth game, you know what's going to happen there. The NBA, you know who's in the finals, you know, who will be in the playoffs, the NHL. But this thing, the story of it for 150 years is the marathon, is getting through the 162. And everything is different. Sometimes it's starting pitching. Sometimes it's young players. Sometimes teams just, you know, have six doubleheaders from rain earlier in the season that they got to play. There's always some little trick that goes into some variable that goes into it. And we're seeing it this year. I am absolutely convinced that we're going to have some crazy finish down to the end. And it may include Houston. It may include the Minnesota-Cleveland thing. Yankees look like they've got it together. This Atlanta thing, who knows what's going to happen there. We've got a quarter of the season to go. That's how I feel about it.
And Fish just whispered in my ear, don't sleep on the American League wild card. The A's are back in the hunt. That one, they're finishing up a four-game series. They've got a chance to sweep the Astros today. So.
And what about the Red Sox?
They played themselves out of it. Now they're trying to get back into it. So, yeah, this whole thing across baseball. And the deadline, you know, people thought, I think, that for me, the deadline was fantastic. I thought we had teams that were not totally in it than making moves. You had Paul White was just talking about the Indians' moves to go get Puig and Fred Mil Reyes. You had the Reds still staying in it.